tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And once again, you're listening to The Ooze. I'm T.C. Dowdy, and with me on the air is Jeanette. Jeanette, how are you doing today?
Hey. I'm good. How's everybody else?
Everybody else at this point includes you and I, so it should be a fairly easy show to deal with.
Yeah, all right.
I'm good here. So what's
good,
going
yeah.
on?
No, I am too. Yeah, all that craziness, that certainly is, I think, cleared away a lot of the external bullshit that was blocking me from getting further. So I'm actually glad everything went down the way it did.
Yeah, I think you came out of it well, and at least with some real insight, which is something that I think the whole point of this entire edition of The Ooze was developed for in the first place, was to help people actually kind of go towards getting some real insight. You know, we talked for a bit about, different manipulative tactics and manifesting your will. We talked about how to form a memory. Over the past few weeks, we've discussed, I don't know, this odd concept or that odd concept, or, you know, and just kind of moved along. But the whole focus of the show has always been, in my opinion, to the whole focus of the channel, in fact, is to inspire people to gain real-world insight. And amazingly enough, that can be done through the Internet.
Yeah, well, I think it can be done pretty much anywhere if you do it right. And that's basically the thing I'm definitely taking away from everything that's happened, is that I have some real insight into what I want to do. And that's the main thing that I learned from this, is that any philosophy worth anything that you develop personally is worth actually doing. And that's an important thing, no matter where you wind up falling, so to speak, on the scale, is that, you know, if you're going to be a Christian, do it. If you're going to be a Satanist, do it. If you're going to be whatever, you have to do it.
Right, and anything short of that is talking out of one side of your mouth and screaming out of the other, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly, and that's basically why I decided, you know, to drop the label this time, is because I can do some things, but I do think that transgression is important, and honestly, unfortunately, I'm so limited in that I don't need to necessarily use a label that represents those kind of things, you know, to kind of develop my own, you know, personal practice, actually. So, yeah, lay down.
Yep. So I guess we should... I don't know, for the sake of perpetuating drama, just to perpetuate drama, we should talk a little bit about what's happened over the past few days, because obviously all of our listeners aren't hanging out on SIN or the 600 Club or checking out different blogs or whatever. I guess the first thing for me that I would notably point out is that I absolutely respect all of the ideas that have been manifested over the years, no matter where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this particular walk of life has a particular philosophy that kind of runs behind said praxis. That philosophy itself is very hard for people to get a hold of mentally. They always want to kind of give it this little extra, I'm doing this so it applies to me thing. You know, it's the equivalent of saying that, because you fire off, small model rockets that you've built at home, that you're an astrophysicist.
Yeah, and that's honestly the problem.
You're more of a hobbyist. I mean, You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, exactly. And that's the thing, is that concept that you can sort of dilute something that's so absolute down to something that fits, when honestly, for a lot of people, it's not feasible, at least for me. It's not a feasible path to go down. But so it's being portrayed as something that you can alter, which means that it winds up getting diluted to the point where it no longer is the thing it was before.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That tends to happen more often than not. As a matter of fact, it's kind of my own personal philosophy that something must always divide. If there is one, it must divide. And that division, that process of division, is in fact illusion, just exactly as you're describing it. Yeah, it starts on a very cellular level, in my opinion, that the world works like this, and it just continues on. I mean, you can't have one of something without it divided.
Yeah, and then it winds up becoming a little less than it was before, and at some point, it winds up becoming a meaningless thing. And basically, what happened is that I bought into the meaningless thing, and I was actually running a very dangerous road because I have children and a husband. And that finally got halted, which is actually, for me, probably the greatest thing that ever could have happened in my life. You know, and
right. That's
something that I'm definitely glad that happened overall.
Well, let's talk about where you think you're going from here.
Okay. From here, honestly, I'm going to continue my blog, and I'll be writing about any insight I gain from the things that I can do. But honestly, at best, when it comes to what I feel Satanism is, it is honestly a supporting role to it, as opposed to being that in and of itself, which is, honestly, for me at least, as a woman, one of the hardest parts of it to realize is that it's similar, but it's not the same, and that means it's not the same, and it's more complementary or supporting than actually being what that is. And that realization actually is probably the biggest ego hit I've had on the whole thing, is that, you know, I can do things like, you know, get into really good physical shape, and that's great, but I'm not going to be, you know, getting into bar fights, so to speak. And so I'm going to have to, you know, get into good physical shape, for example, or, you know, take a classes on, you know, a fighting style. So actually with that, I've kind of fell into the rabbit hole of guns, which is that, like, if you're going to actually use a gun, it's literally a never-ending process to be actually fully trained with it, which I didn't know. I got my concealed carry license and thought I was, like, the shit, and I'm not at all.
Right. Right on. I think it's important here to note that, you know, the path that lays in front of you is your own. There are all of these philosophies, all of these ideologies, all of these religions that are all around you, all making suggestions of you know, how you should tread this course. But ultimately, you can only go at it, you know, from your direction, from your way. And as long as you don't sell that out, you'll end up better in the end for it.
Well, I think so. And my whole thing is this. You know, putting my blog earlier, which is that, you know, because it is the more supporting thing, the thing is this. If you do support the cause, so to speak, you need to do something, anything, to support the cause, you know, which is obvious, which is to bring the system down. So basically, that's going to be the message that I put into my stuff, is do something, do anything, anything that you can find that you can do. Go and do that, and you're supporting the cause. Now, you might not be part of the actual force, so to speak, that's bringing it down, but you're still doing a little bit of something. And if enough people do a little bit of something, it actually does come down.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody doing something is, I mean, honestly, that's the only way that we can continue to exist, at least on a societal level. If we allow ourselves to kind of fall into the same mechanical existence that so many others around seem to float in. I mean, I don't know how many people I've encountered who've built their entire identity around being, I don't know, a Freemason or a Luciferian or the Order of Nine Angles, that when you know, the bricks start coming out, and eventually the bricks will start coming out. I mean, because let's face it, everything gets turned up under the wheel of time.
Yeah.
You know, the question is, at the end of it all, are you really your idea?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's exactly. And you have to drop ideas that you actually aren't. So that's, you know, it has to be done. And that's why I said before, you know, anything that you truly feel, it's a philosophy that has any worth is worth doing. So whatever it winds up coming out to be, that's basically my thing at this point. What can I do? And I'm going to talk about that. And, you know, I'll be around because, like I said, it supports Satanism, but it's not the same as it. So, you know, I'll still be around because of that. But, yeah, no, I'm not going to, you know, delude myself into thinking that, you know, I'm one of that group, because I simply can't do some of the things that are entailed in that.
Right. Well, I think that that's kind of, and I'm just going to say this, it's kind of a dangerous thing to tread, because anytime you allow somebody to define something for you, you'll most inadvertently never be that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense or not to you, but
actually, that makes full sense, and that's what I realized was happening, is that other people had begun to define for me what Satanism is and is not, which means that at least it this point in time, I'm clearly not getting it if I have to get what it is from other people.
Right on. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a big fan of Hinduism. It's something that over the past few years has taken up a great deal of interest in my personal life. I, you know, do some studying here and there and kind of observe things. And one of the things within Hinduism that I find most interesting is that their religion, the way that their religion works, it's not, they don't have any kind of predetermined set of beliefs, if that makes sense. You can, you know, you can dedicate yourself to Shiva, or you can dedicate yourself to Kali, or you can dedicate yourself to Vishnu, or Ganesha, I think it's Humano or something like that. I can't remember his name. But what they hold in common is that they have this thing called Dharma. And what Dharma is a way that they practice their beliefs. So it's, for them, rightly so, it's situated in such a way that it's about how they act, about fulfilling what they believe are their duties and their responsibilities. It is not particularly about, and forgive me if I'm losing my train of thought for a second, but it's not particularly about what they personally believe, but rather them fulfilling what they feel is their role in life.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when I kind of started to wrap my head around this idea, you know, it kind of became crystal clear. It's actually one of the things that has allowed me to continue down the path that I'm going at, because I've got to say, the fucking drama queen, Jerry Springer, beauty parlor antics that I see on a day-to-day basis are disgusting to me. And
yeah.
It's particularly more disgusting to me when I actually have to participate in it to accomplish some means.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was important to recognize that it was in fulfilling my own set of ethics, my own philosophy of living, that I'm able to kind of stay there, because unlike a lot of other people who might hug the term Satanist, I'm not a Satanist because that's what I, you know, what I quote unquote believe, but rather because I live my life as a literal devil. I'm, you know, very adversarial to a particular element. I'm very against certain lines of thinking, and I very much act in a way that is completely self-serving and self-interested. But at the same point, I'm not foolish enough to think that I can go at this whole world alone. So I look after my own as well.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, exactly, and yeah, and that's my main thing, is that, like, no, I definitely feel the opposition and the other things, but, you know, there's, and it's like I said before, and it's always my problem, which is that the issues that are entailed with why I can't quite get it are because I'm a woman. So then the assumption becomes that, well, Satanism is different from women, when really at the end of the day, the question becomes, should it be? Or is maybe that role something else? Because, what, like I said, you know, I do support the cause, but I just can't do it in a way that I find necessarily resonates with that label, and it has to be on my own terms, which... ironically enough, is what I found in the LaVeyan paradigm to begin with, and you know, that's sort of what I found ironic about the whole thing, was that, like, there's this dichotomy of the sinister Satanist and the mundane Satanist, so to speak, which is, you know, the sinister one is very specific, and the mundane Satanist has some of that stuff, but they actually, there's some differences, and one is a real cry to individualism and other things. One of the ironies that I found out is that if you put those two archetypes out and really put them together, is that I probably fit the second kind better, with the exception of the fact that it's individualistic because it has to be, but that I do get and support the cause entailed behind that sinister version of Satanism. So it winds up becoming difficult to mentally identify which one you are, where you're going to go, or anything else, which is why I was like, I think I'm just going to go do my own thing, because at the end of the day, it's sort of a, I don't really know where I stand anymore. And honestly, that's a product of the mind fuck, I think, at the moment, and I just got over it, so I don't know if that's going to change or not. But one of the things I've always believed, which is why I really haven't deleted it. I didn't delete my blog or anything else, and I haven't deleted my account or anything else. I'm going to keep all that up, because one of the things I've always been a big believer in, at least for me, is that I would like my internet legacy to be going from a point A to a point B to a point C to a point D. So even my mistakes, I want to stay on record, even if they make me a little less, I don't know, badass, so to speak, because I think that everybody's going to fall on their face from time to time.
I agree with that entirely. And I can completely respect where you're coming from there. I think it's absolutely important to own your mistakes. It doesn't matter if you got, a cool little, septogram tattooed on your chest, or Hello Kitty on your neck. If you're owning your own mistakes, if you're admitting your own faults, then, you know, you're doing what you need to in life as a human being. And I think that's the most important part here, that your flesh, your bone, your brain matter, you function a certain way, and that certain way you have in common with absolutely everybody else on this planet. You know, now how it's filtered, how it's processed, and how it acts out can be manifested in so many different ways. But it's kind of like you got this raw, nebulous material that's explosive in nature, and it's just waiting for you to poke at it a little bit. And as you poke at it, it explodes and something forms. And then you just keep doing that and keep forming and keep developing, and you find over time things that have formed in the past, you know, when you poke on that nebulous, it explodes and it takes those things out, but something else forms.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's always going to be, and that's the main thing, is that at least for me, it's always been to an extent about personal evolution and, you know, all that stuff. So I'm always glad when something kind of explodes, so to speak. And it's definitely been a strange time. I know that I've been probably more talked about than most on the internet right now, which actually for me is rather embarrassing, because I always hate when it's like that. Like, I'm always just like, oh, no, you know. Like, I'm everywhere. And part of that is an innate thing, which is that I am a completely argumentative person, even in real life. And, like, yeah, so, like, if you start arguing with me, I can't help but rise to the bait. And, like, yeah, that's one of the things also that I realized throughout this I need to work on, is that, you know, I have a little less egg on my face if I would just, you know, sit down and shut up from time to time.
Yeah, that happens. I'm a big fan of Sun Tzu, and for a lot of reasons, but one of them is the idea that Sun Tzu put forward of moving only when it benefits you.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes quite a bit of discipline. I mean, I myself don't always react the way that I should.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that should be obvious. But on the other hand, at the end of the day, I still know, you know, where that line is, where that control of self is needed to be applied. And that's not necessarily something that I think that you lack in. I think it's more something that you just have to remember.
Oh, yeah, no, it's where, like, and the thing is, it's like I have buttons that can be pushed, and that's actually what happened there, was that, like, I managed to ignore all of it, especially the second time around. I was like, okay, like, you know, you're being as ridiculous as he is, just don't comment on the thread, be quiet, ignore him, what he wants. And then he had to quote me and make a smarmy comment, and I just couldn't help but rise to the bait, and I really shouldn't have. Like that was like, and I realized after it happened, I was like, you know, you should just ignore that. You know, you were talking about something else, and you just should have ignored what he said. But I couldn't help but pop off at the mouth, and it was one of the things I realized, like, you know, later, I was like, this is like one of the single biggest character flaws you have anywhere you go. Because, like, actually, ironically enough, was that, while all this was going on, I had some major real-life drama going on at the same time. Like, the day that me and Mac were getting into it, for example, and this is just, my husband was making a joke, and I just took it all wrong, and we got in this huge fight, which was this. I have this pair of leopard print leggings that are skin tight. It's Christmas morning, we're getting ready to go over to his grandparents, right? And I said, well, let me put on some makeup because I don't want to look like something you picked up off the side of the road. Well, he said, what makes you think, what was it? Well, you already do look like that. And, like, I blew up so big that he literally left me here and went with the kids to his parents' house. Because I reacted like, yeah, you know, like, I didn't take the joke. it wasn't funny to me. And I was really pissed off. And then he told Leonard, I'm sort of trying to play you a compliment. I just don't think it worked out or that you saw it that way. And I was like, and it, so like, yeah, and it was stuff like that. Plus I was dealing with like my mother and all the other stuff at the same time, which is actually part of what was just so, I don't know, sort of made me realize like, you know, yeah, you need to learn to be quiet more because like you had way more drama than you could have if you had just been quiet a little bit, especially on the internet. If you just shut up on the internet, you know, your life, your past 4 days would have been half as traumatic because you had enough going on in other places.
Right on. So I'm curious, do you intend to still participate on the Ooze, or is your path taking you in other place? Okay, that's cool.
No, I'm still going to be here. Yeah, I'm still going to be here. And actually, the name of the show is Perfect Practice Edition, for obvious reasons. Same with Friday's show. I mean, no, yeah. I'm still going to be around. I'm just, you know, going to sit down and do some reassessing and start developing sort of my own thing, which honestly at the end of the day is, in effect, what Satanism is supposed to be. So, you know, yeah. You know, yeah, no, I'm still going to be around because, like I said, I actually really support the Ooze, and I think that it's going to eventually especially become something that, it's like I told you before, I can see it being a satellite, you know, radio channel or something. You know, I can see it being more than that. I think that, you know, like the Take Action editions, you know, what's done on Cyber Riot, sometimes you have a real focus on counterculture and basically taking things from an alternative point of view. And I think that those things are what are going to effectively manage to bring down that beast, so to speak, that we all see in front of us. That's what's going to take it down. So, yeah, no, I'm going to be here, yeah.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that that'll kind of ease some of what seems to be a creative block lately. All of this stuff coming down will give you an opportunity to really, I don't know, take it apart, you know.
Yeah.
Take it down.
Well, exactly.
Well,
and that's what I have to do at this point. Ironically enough, it's sort of, I don't know, Dan Dredd talks about it all the time. You know, you have to break things apart and see if they fit and put them back together and, you know, all that stuff. And basically that's what I have to do here, you know. And, yeah, now hopefully that block is going to clear and, you know, I'm going to be better able to do things because, you know, talk about things. Because honestly, at this point especially, it's going to become less posturing and more being real. I guess you would say, because that's the main thing I realized, that like I didn't mean to do it, but I did it, and on such a large level that was part of why I was starting to lose sort of my ground, especially in mediums like this. So yeah, no, I'm hoping that actually kind of doing what it does and get the creative juices flowing, and it already is actually. I mean, like I sent wrote like 3 blogs down on paper today, and I may scrap them or I may not, but I'm pretty sure that I'm kind of back to, you know, being myself, so to speak.
Right. Good. Just talked about this idea that he called considering. There were different mm-hmm. forms of it, but considering often led to identifying with something. When you considered something, you identified to a point where it wasn't you per se, but the idea itself that you were identifying with. And that is what I think you've been describing here. So,
oh, no, that's exactly what, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, reading some Gurdjieff, if they haven't done so already, might, you know, bring some clarity. Now, I'm not saying proclaim yourself a fourth-way master after, you know, reading the back of the books. We've got somebody who did that already. But, But
no,
I mean,
no,
listen
that's,
to
that's,
the. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, that's what I was going to say, is that actually that's one of the things that I'm planning on doing too, is that there's lots of things that are LHP, and I'm going to go off and look at those too, so that I become more of a mixed bag, because at least at this point within LHP reading, I've been pretty satanic specific, and I've even become more, you know, sort of needling into almost specific groups and things at times and ignoring multiple things out there. So, yeah, no, I plan on actually, like, expanding my reading list greatly. And actually, Gertrude is next on my list to sort of enrich this Ooh show specifically.
Right. I will I'll give you a little bit of a recommendation. I would go at the Gertrude anthology backwards. I would start off with his last book, which it was entitled, ironically enough, Life is Only Real When I Am. That would be the first place that I would tell you to start. And the reason for that is, in the book, in the introduction, he makes the statement that his previous releases of writing were erroneous, all with the exception of Bezobald's Tale to his grandson. So Gurdjieff himself philosophically transcended in his final days. And so a lot of his ideas changed. It's something that people don't really get, as he came to a philosophical quandrum of sorts. And that quandrum actually came to him in the form of a car accident. Prior to that, everything about Gurdjieff's philosophy was in learning to see influences ahead of time, to predict trends before they were coming at you. And he was in a car accident, not once, but twice. And those two car accidents, obviously, he didn't see either of them coming. You know, they woke him up. So I would say start there. And then after that, go to Bezobald's Tales. And then after that, if you're still interested, and reading Gurdjieff is a bear. It is a serious bear. But it's a bear for a reason. And I think, having spent as much time in the mind fuck, so to speak, as you have, that you'll get it, and it won't be so difficult.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, at least for me, with the mind fuck, is that in an odd way, that's one of the things that I realized today, is that it's part of how I understand what that Magian thing is in a way. I was thinking about today, I was like, the irony is that whole ONA web sort of was exactly similar to that for me in a lot of ways. And that's the main thing I take away from this experience, is that I understand what they mean even better, because I pretty much became the spitting version, their version of it.
Right. Right. Here's the thing about that whole ONA deal. And I really have mad respect for the original author, the guy who came up with these ideas. Anton Long, David Meyer, whatever the hell his name really is. But you can see that certain people who were participatory in this ideology for a length of time ultimately mindfuck themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to them running back to their blog and changing dates and writing things to support arguments that they're making and rewording little things, thinking nobody's catching it, to all to support this internet drama game, it kind of gives you this realization that they're not doing anything for themselves.
Well, no, and that's the thing that I realized about it was that, and it was a certain blog, it was that Beyond the Rhetoric Family is the Most Important Thing blog. That was the one that pissed me off, because actually Mindsex came into the blog and said, absolutely not, you can put anything in here about transgression. Oh, which, and that's what I said. I pulled three paragraphs to make a cleaner blog. Actually, not to make a cleaner blog, but to make a more real blog, something that more accurately represented me. And then this Anton Log blog comes out supporting my blog, and I'm thinking to myself, no, wait a minute. Like, I knew on an intellectual level that he was right. That's why I responded the way I did. You know, everybody knew he was right. Why the fuck is this being produced to support me? And it was pretty much the moment that I was like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is just a bunch of bullshit. And honestly, part of the reason why is because I don't pay much attention to what other people are doing. Like, it's like I was saying on that one phrase, like, I understand that an Anton Long blog is a quote-unquote official blog. Do you see what I'm saying? But, and looking at it now, I realize, like, you know, that's because I'm different from other people. And that's what's happened here, is that somebody out there in a similar situation that I am in has decided to take the ONA Mentalplex and use it to justify the fact that they're sympathetic, but not actually that. And that's the problem.
And I think that you hit the nail right on the head here. Sharp insight, sharp insight. That is the problem.
And, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was done.
Oh, well, and that's what I was going to say, is that I realized was that in a subtle way, at least, and that's sort of what I realized pretty quickly, was that part of the reason why I agreed with that person so much is because I'm the same way. I'm sympathetic, but I'm not the same. But if I continue to run around calling myself that, I'm actually deluding what I'm sympathetic to. And I was reading something about people that were, I don't know, I think I was reading about Nazi Germany, and they were talking about people that were Nazi sympathizers, but not actually Nazis. And I thought to myself, that is so similar to what I am, you know, and no, technically they weren't Nazis, but a lot of them use the label, you know, and that's what's happening.
Right. That's precisely it. Again, I really have to give you complete props for crystal clear understanding of what's actually going on now. I mean, to me, that makes you more satanic than a lot of other people out there that are supposedly big in Satanism. So.
Well, and that's exactly it. Is that, you know, like, if you're sympathetic, you need to find a way to say I'm sympathetic, but I'm not that. Because honestly, what you're developing is something that, quite honestly, could, you know, the idea of do something, do anything, could actually appeal to a wider audience than that specific thing is. But you don't necessarily need to call it that, because it, in essence, appeals to the very people they're talking about, which is that those are the people that can be influenced by it. And that's one of the other issues that has come up here, which is that I really, really think that the herd, so to speak, is being accurately influenced by something that they can do, which is like, if you have 10 requirements and somebody comes out and says, you only have to do one, so to speak. Well, there's a lot of people that step up and say, well, I can do that one. But that doesn't make you what they're talking about.
Not at all. Not at all.
Mm-mm.
You can choose to act any one specific way that you want, but whether it's in accordance with your own nature or in accordance mm-hmm. with your being, that's mm-hmm. a completely separate issue. It's like our Christian buddy Timus Hardcore sitting in the chat room there.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah. Yes, the Abuse actually has Christian fans, but unfortunately, he's more our kind than theirs.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's exactly the thing that I realized, too, is that I'm in the same situation as people like Tim is, which is that I get what y'all are talking about, and I flat out, you know, think, well, maybe you guys are right in a lot of ways, but for me personally, it's not necessarily what I can do. And the main thing I took out of this from all this, honestly, is that that delusion resulted in basically a message, an idea out there, which was do something, do anything to bring down the system. And that idea I can actually take and run with and go quite far with, but it's not what they're talking about inherently, unless it's diluted to the point where it's basically a meaningless thing.
Right. Well, certainly keep up your transgressions. Transgress only the limits that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find over time that that line gets pushed further and further back.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's exactly what I have to do, and that's all I can do. And it reminds me of Diablo posted something a long time ago where he said, you know, if you're he was talking about being free or being caught in a cage, and he said, at least if you tried it and failed, at least you realize you're a dog in a cage, rather than thinking that the cage doesn't exist, which I really butchered what he said. That's basically what my realization has been, in essence, here, is that, no, the cage is all around me. There's nothing I can do about it, so I've got to, you know, adjust to and live with it. At least I'm aware it's there.
Right on. Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you have that leash around your neck is certainly better than, I mean, I see this all the time with kids and dogs where they get excited and they forget that they've got that leash on their neck and they run as hard as they can at whatever it is they're trying to get. And when they're halfway there, it jerks them back and makes them all awkward. I've seen kids fall on their ass. I've seen dogs get flipped over backwards trying to get other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because they're unaware of their own boundaries.
Exactly, and those boundaries and limitations really have to be the thing that define it for people. And part of what I think is actually the problem with Satanism at this point is that you have a lot of people that support it, but don't realize that they are, in essence, supporters. And that's what's actually bringing the whole thing down in its entirety. And really, at least for me, if I support it, I want to see it do what it's going to do, you know, and not further, you know, rip it to shit, so to speak. I'd like to see it be that visceral thing that it's supposed to be. So, you know, if I can get people to realize, hey, you're, you know, you're close, but you're not quite there, you know, but keep doing what you're doing, because if you actually support them, you need to actually start fighting back a little bit here. Might not be much that you can do, but there's things that you can do. You know, that's why I said in that blog, this is a praxis. It's just not that necessarily.
Yeah, and it's respectable nonetheless. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's awesome. Cool. I got to, if I could golf clap, and I used that with such pleasure, if I could golf clap right now, I would. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's the thing that I'm the most grateful for, at least within the satanic community, is that the people that I identified with to the extent where I started losing those things actually do seem to support me in realizing that I'm not that, which is actually really ironic because, you know, you would think they would fight to basically keep the person that was running around screaming their thing. And that's something that I'm really, really grateful for in general to the community. It actually makes me more supporting, is to realize that, you know, people are behind me saying, no, what I do is something different, and that's okay. You know, I'm very, very grateful for that in a lot of ways, and it again shows why I actually support what it is.
Right? And I believe, and this is something I'm actually going to give props to whoever wrote that last Pointy Hat blog about family, or is it Pointy Hat or NXS? I don't know anymore. Isn't it all the same? Whoever wrote that blog talking about, what was the word that they used? Naya or something like that. The idea of having love for somebody else. The way that you show somebody love is by supporting them being them, supporting them making, you know, their own way along, and, you know, just pointing out the philosophical inconsistencies. I've often wondered why it is that you could take an entire congregation from one of the largest churches in the world and have them all pass by, and, you know, a bum who hasn't had anything to eat with a cup, and he might come out with 20 cents, but, you know, the guy that doesn't go to church or doesn't believe in God is the one that puts the $20 bill in there and says, hey, man, get a six-pack and a Big Mac and knock yourself the fuck out.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly it, too. So, you know, that's why I said before, any philosophy worth anything is worth doing, because you're exactly right. The Christian should stop and put money in his cup. And that's, in essence, you know, what this is all about for me, is that, you know, I'm fine with, you know, the fact that, and I've always been that way, you know, I'm fine with the fact that you're blank as long as you're actually doing it. And when I realize that I'm not actually doing it, that's a pretty big blow for me, because I realize that, you know, like, I bought into something that's not the same as, but seems to mimic it in a way. And the best part, at least for me, is that they coined this term called the sinister feminine for it. And I find that funny, because actually, if you look at the feminine as an archetype in general, it does tend to be a more supporting one. So, ironically enough, at least in that extent, I think they're on to something, but I think that, you know, you need to pull it away from what you're supporting, or else you're ultimately being detrimental to it, which is, at least for me, what sort of, I don't know, hurts about the thing, is that, like, I never intended to be more, to cause more damage to something that I really do support, you know, actively, and have attempted to apply to my life, and I found a lot of things from. So, yeah, no, I'm, and that's the thing, is that in a way I actually feel bad for whoever is behind all this, because I get where they're coming from in a way, but they're actually refusing to learn the lesson and moving their stuff to a different place, because that's what they need to do, because the potential for it to be something bigger than what they're doing is actually pretty big, you know. And if you support that, getting more people to do little things to bring things down further is actually by far the best possible way to go. But, you know, at least whoever's behind this whole thing needs to give up their ego-based delusion that they're one of them.
Well said. Well said. We've got about 9 minutes left in this particular show, and I think the next time that I'm actually talking to you, it's going to be a new year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I'm coming for that. Yep.
Yeah. So I think that next Wednesday we might spend a little time discussing the idea of a New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Why people do it.
I like that idea. Yeah. Why they break it, what it actually means. Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea, because, it's, by the way, I do want to have, that I had a blast on Sunday. That's one of the, I don't know, I listened to it later, and I didn't realize I was as funny as I was until I listened to it later. I was like, that's actually really funny. What's funny is that Jake, which I didn't even realize Jake listened to the Ooze at all. He said you were hilarious on the Ooze. He's actually been quite nice to me via PM. He's been a pretty big ego booster for me during this whole thing.
Right. Well, Jake is Jake's one of a kind. He's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I often find that if there's anybody that opens my eyes to things, it's him. Like, mm-hmm. he generally tends to say something, and he's very real, very matter-of-fact about it. And I have to stop and kind of acknowledge, you know, that he's real. He's a matter of, you know, as a matter-of-fact about it as possible. And so, I mean, yeah, he's hilarious, though. He has so much humor in his body, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I met him actually. He came to Nashville and I met him, and you know, in real life he's exactly the same. I mean, we sat and talked for a few hours actually. It was actually one of at least for me, out of my entire time within the community, so to speak, it's one of the one of the single greatest experiences I've ever had as a result of it, which is that I got to meet Jake. And like, you know, there's a big part of me that say to people, well, have you met Jake? No? Well, guess what I have? Ha, 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 ha. and he brought everything. Like, I got to see all of it. Like, his PSD, which has, like, a special cover. And, you know, that stuff is, and yeah, out of any experience I've ever had, you know, and most of them, you know, with the community have been online. But that one made me realize that I'm definitely on to what, you know, I do support. You know, that's something that really was driven home for me. That was actually right around my birthday, actually. But, yeah, no, he's a really cool guy in real life.
Well done. I can imagine so. I mean, my interaction with him has been limited to the one time he's called into the Ooze and Sim Chat with the occasional, you know, Facebook comment or whatever. But, again, I appreciate the dude. Think that he's a hell of a lot wiser than I am and probably shakes his head at a lot of the things that I do, but he's always... You know, he's always real about it, so it's cool.
Well, exactly. And the one thing I do admire about Jake is that most of the time, you know, when he tells you something, it's straight out flat common sense that he's spouting at you. And you at least have to stop and consider what he's saying because, you know, it's typically born from, you know, what he's done in life. You know, he's like, I know you're making a mistake. Actually, when this whole ONA thing started, he sent me a PM and he warned me. He said, I think you're getting taken in and I think you need to stop and reassess because, you know, and basically he said, and he didn't say, I don't think this is you. Because that's one thing that, you know, he's always maintained with me is that, and he actually sent me a PM about that. He said, people like you don't need a label or a banner to fall under. And he's more right than, you know, a lot of other people are, certainly.
Of course. Of course. Before this show goes off the air, we've got about maybe 4 minutes left in the show. I did mm-hmm. want to make mention to you that nobody in that 3.0 group was embarrassed by you. I just want to make sure that you're clear upon that. That actually is something I think was really being worked hard at by that particular person trying to manipulate the situation, and it was something that well, ultimately, you know, in the end, I really thought it was important to, you know, just put out there and make sure that you understood that. You know, we can all recognize, you know, that you're not specifically our kind. You're still more our kind than others, you know?
No, exactly. I know that, and that's the thing that actually really bothered me about it, was that whoever the person is behind this is more like me than like y'all. So the buttons that are being pushed are actually the same exact buttons I have. There's so many similarities. I mean, even before I ever started reading their stuff. So those buttons that they pushed to divide me from y'all, ironically enough, in a way, was that I'm more their kind than yours. I just happen to support you guys more and feel that what they did was ultimately smacked of, like, the single most dishonorable thing that you could do, which is this, like, it's quite obvious that I'm like whoever this is. Obviously, I'm close to you guys, but I'm not quite the same, kind-wise. But to sit and turn around and do that means that, well, no, you're not my kind either, because you wouldn't do that to me if you were, even via the internet. You would know that, right. You know, you don't do that. Yeah.
Right on. Well, I think that's it for tonight. Good talk. I enjoyed the show. We did get a little bit of a crowd in the end of the show here in the chat room. So,
yeah. Well, good.
Anyway, that's pretty much all I had to say. You want to say anything before I take us out?
No, I'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Have a good night.
I will. Bye.